Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today's episode is going to be a weekly docket episode where I recap the top headlines in true crime for the week. If you're watching on YouTube, I did wash this sweatshirt before I recorded today because I know I wore it in my last video, but listen, it is my favorite sweatshirt. You can get it on TikTok shop. Let me know if you want the link. But anyway, we've got a lot to cover, a lot. It was almost hard to narrow down the stories. I kind of felt like I could include them all for like a 2-hour long podcast, but we don't really have time for that. So we're going to dive in with the first story of this week, which is a huge one out of Austin, Texas. The yogurt shop murders. The breakthrough DNA identifies a suspect after 34 years. Now on December 6th of 1991, we're going to back up so I can tell you kind of a little about what really happened here. But Austin, Texas was shaken to its core by one of the most horrific crimes in the city's history. Four teenage girls, Jennifer Harbison, her sister Sarah, and their friends Eliza Thomas and Amy Ayers were found murdered inside of an I Can't Believe It's Yogurt shop. That night, the shop was set on fire, and when firefighters arrived around 11:47 p.m., they put out the flames only to uncover the bodies of the four girls. The girls had been bound, gagged, and shot execution style. Their bodies had also been set on fire. The youngest, Amy, had been shot twice, and tragically, evidence suggests that she was still alive when the fire began. Now, for years, investigators struggled to make sense of what happened. At first, it looked like a robbery gone wrong. There was cash missing from the register, but the level of violence and the way that the girls were killed made it seem far more personal. By the late 1990s, police turned their focus to four local men: Michael Scott, Robert Springsteen, Maurice Pierce, and Forrest Wellborn. Two of them, Michael Scott and Robert Springsteen, gave confessions under heavy interrogation. Their stories conflicted, and both later recanted, saying that their confessions had been coerced, which is something we've seen before. Now, despite the problems with their confessions, Michael Scott and Robert Springsteen were convicted in 2001 and 2002. One received a life sentence and the other a death sentence. But DNA testing told a different story. Evidence from the crime scene didn't match any four of the men. After years of appeals, both convictions were thankfully overturned by 2009. The case went cold once again, leaving families devastated and the city without answers. And the break finally came more than three decades later. In 2024, HBO released a docuseries which reignited public interest in the case. Behind the scenes, detectives were re-examining old evidence with new technology. Advances in DNA testing and forensic genealogy pointed them towards a new name, Robert Eugene Brashers. Now, Brashers was a Missouri man with a long history of violence, including burglaries, rapes, and murders across multiple states. So let's not mince words. He was a serial killer, a mass murderer, and a rapist. Now, in 1999, police noticed that a stolen vehicle was parked in a Super 8 motel parking lot in Kennett, Missouri. After talking with employees, police discovered Robert Brashers was there with his family and that they had arrived in that stolen vehicle. So police broke down the door to their room and found Robert hiding under a bed with a loaded gun. When they tried to arrest him, he opened fire on them, so the police were forced to retreat, go back outside. Meanwhile, he essentially holds his whole family hostage, his wife, daughter, and two stepdaughters. The police brought in negotiators, and after about 4 hours, he released the hostages and then shot himself in the head. He actually didn't die right away. He was taken to the hospital and lived for about 6 days until he ultimately died from his injuries. Now, fast forward decades later, and his DNA has now been linked directly to the yogurt shop crime scene. On September 26th, just last week, it was announced that DNA connected Robert to the yogurt shop murders. A partial YSTR DNA profile was developed from a vaginal swab from one of the victims. That profile did not match any of the previous four boys that were questioned or later suspected and then convicted, but last week they were finally able to match DNA with advanced DNA screening, and it came back to Robert Eugene Brashers. Robert's daughter, in interviews with local news stations, expressed shock and sadness upon learning about the latest murders linked to her own father. Deborah Brashers told KVUE-TV that she was just an infant when the Austin murders happened and just 8 years old when her father died. She told KXAN-TV that she didn't know why he ended up in Austin other than to note that he worked in construction. She said she believes that more crimes could come to light with this new revelation. So if that does happen, I'll be sure to bring that to you here on the weekly docket. Next, police in Vallejo, California made a disturbing discovery this week when they found the remains of a missing woman hidden behind a secret wall inside of a home piled floor to ceiling with clutter. After receiving a tip, investigators went to the residence of Douglas Irwin Shaw, who lived alone in what neighbors described as a hoarder house. When officers searched the property, they found that he had built a concealed space in the wall, and inside of it, they discovered the missing woman's body. Authorities say that Shaw not only admitted to the killing, but also described how he constructed the hidden compartment to conceal her remains. Vallejo Police Chief Shawnee Williams called it a heinous crime and said the level of planning was unlike anything his department had seen in years. Neighbors told reporters they were not surprised when police swarmed the property. Some described the house as overrun with junk, trash, and strange modifications, and many had kept their distance for years. One neighbor said, quote, "We always thought something was off about that place, but none of us could have imagined this," end quote. Shaw has since been arrested and charged with murder and concealment of a corpse. Investigators are still working to determine the victim's exact cause of death and whether there may be additional victims, given the unusual layout of the home and Shaw's background. Now, the victim in this story is Renia Lewis, who was last seen on Friday, September 28th. According to the Vallejo Police Department's press release, quote, "Officers contacted the reporting party and completed a missing persons report. Officers then entered her information into the law enforcement missing persons database, while multiple VPD officers were assigned to search for the missing woman. That same day, the patrol division's investigation led officers to the hoarder house in Vallejo. There were indications that the missing woman may have been inside the residence at some point before she went missing. Officers entered the residence to conduct a welfare check and a cursory search of all the rooms, closets, and places a person could hide, but found no signs of the missing woman. The Vallejo Police Department Detective Division was called out that afternoon and took over the investigation. The next day, September 29th, the California Highway Patrol issued an ebony alert, and the local police sought help from the FBI. The mom and other relatives had also been searching the area on their own, finding her phone on the roof of a nearby school. And they were able to narrow down her location because she was on Life 360. So I'm about to show you a video that was posted by someone close to Renia. And so if you're only listening to this episode, I'll just kind of explain to you what is being shown. But this person is at the actual house of this guy, going into the backyard, showing up at his door. Like, it is up close and personal. And this is incredibly risky. I would never recommend anybody do this, but I have to hand it to this girl who deeply cares about Renia and took matters into their own hands. So go ahead and watch this.
Oh, boom, we here at the house. This is the nigga and a bitch. The nigga, I got his phone number. He won't answer the phone. Phone is going straight to voicemail. Like, nobody's have been home all weekend. We've been here since Saturday night. And this nigga not answering. He got hella different addresses and hella shit. Like, this shit hella fucking dirty. Like, this shit is just fucking crazy. Like, a motherfucker came through the back over there. The phone was on the roof over there in the school, directly right here. And yeah.
Now, I realize just listening to that clip doesn't give you a lot of information, but watching it, you see just how filthy this place is, how run down and just depressing it is. Also, the IDs that she's showing in the video are actually not that of the man who was eventually arrested. Those two IDs belong to people who lived near Douglas's house, apparently, but they are not connected to the case as of right now. On September 30th, the investigation led detectives back to that residence. Based on new information, detectives were granted a search warrant to thoroughly search the residence, and during this search, they discovered a concealed entry into the attic. Officers searched the attic and located the remains of a deceased female inside that is suspected of being the missing woman. They obtained additional information that identified Douglas Irwin Shaw, a 41-year-old resident of Vallejo, as the suspect in the death of the female, and he was subsequently placed under arrest at his place of employment. Renia Lewis was only 28 years old.
Organic
Farm grown, never lab made, these are the ultra premium CBD gummies from Secret Nature. Crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to support your day with clean, purposeful functionality. For me, I like keeping a Bliss gummy on hand when I've got a packed schedule and need steady focus without that jittery feeling. It's just clean, balanced energy that helps me stay in the zone. And when the day is over, I reach for a snoozer's gummy to actually unwind and put a real stop to my day. It feels intentional and it slides right into my routine. And here's what sets them apart. They're organic, farm grown, and never lab made, ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals, nothing extra. And you have two options. You have Bliss for clear focus and productive flow, and then you have snoozers for rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent measured CBD, so there's no guessing. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, for 30% off. That's secretnature.com, code MAMA. Have you heard of Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth? It's the supplement designed to help women maintain optimal hormone levels. With more than 50,000 glowing reviews worldwide and 98% of women saying that they would recommend it to their friends and family, it's clear why it's such a fan favorite. And now you can take those results even further with their prebiotic collagen protein. This product is all about supporting your gut health, which directly impacts your hormones. When your gut is in balance, it can really amplify the benefits of Hormone Harmony. So here's what it helps with. It helps with relieving occasional bloating and gas, check. Reducing sugar cravings so you feel satisfied longer, definitely need that. Supporting healthy, sustainable weight management, which is something I have always struggled with. And boosting energy and supporting general well-being. Again, I think all moms can probably relate to basically all of those symptoms. But personally, I've noticed that adding prebiotic collagen protein to my routine made a big difference. It's given me more energy during the day and just an overall feeling of balance. Like I'm not on this wild roller coaster of hormonal imbalance. And what I really like about Happy Mammoth is their commitment to quality. Their products are inspired by nature, but backed by science, and they never cut corners. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with the code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, at checkout. Just go to happymammoth.com and use the code MAMA for 15% off today. Have you ever felt like no matter how much you rest, you're still just running on empty? Fatigue, brain fog, even brittle nails, those can all be signs of iron deficiency. And here's the thing, iron deficiency is way more common than people realize. It affects about 1 in 3 adults, especially women, and traditional iron supplements usually don't cut it. They're hard to absorb, and they often leave you dealing with nausea, constipation, or a metallic-y taste. That's why I recommend Citerol from PharmaNutra. Citerol is a premium iron supplement made with patented sucrosomial technology, which basically wraps the iron in a protective shield so your body can absorb it 3 to 4 times better than standard iron. And the best part is it's gentle on the stomach. There's no nausea, no constipation, and no metallic taste. Citerol has been clinically studied, over 150 published studies, in fact, and it's trusted by more than 2 million people worldwide. It's Italy's number one supplement brand and is finally available here in the U.S. Just one capsule a day with water anytime, with or without food, and you're good to go. So if you're nodding along because you're exhausted, foggy, or just tired of feeling tired, this could be exactly what you've been missing. Head to pharmanutra-us.com and use the code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, for 10% off your first order of Citerol. That's pharmanutra-us.com with the code MAMA, M-A-M-A, for 10% off today. Next, FBI's most wanted Cindy Rodriguez Singh has been captured abroad. After years on the run, Cindy, one of the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives, has been captured overseas and returned to the United States to face charges. Cindy gave birth to her son, Noel, on February 2nd of 2017. He was born premature and had several physical and developmental disabilities, including a visual impairment, a limp, speech delay, esotropia, and a chronic lung disease. Cindy allegedly believed that his ailments were because he was born evil and possessed by a demon. so she would deprive him of food and water to avoid having to change his diaper. And anytime she caught him drinking water, she would allegedly beat him with a set of keys. In 2020, she was sentenced to 10 years of probation after she drunkenly drove her car into a pole with two of her children in the car. Between 2020 and 2021, three of her kids, including little Noel, were placed with a foster family before being returned to Sydney. By fall of 2022, Noel had not been entered into compulsory schooling and lapsed scheduled doctor's appointments beginning in July of 2022. Apparently, Cindy had once asked an acquaintance to borrow their child for a medical visit during this time. On November 1st of 2022, Cindy took passport pictures for six of her children, not including Noel, and applied for passports for her family, again, not including Noel. And then a few days later, she was searching for how much a trip to India would cost. In March of 2023, Cindy lied to investigators and told them that Noel was living with his biological father in Mexico. The day after she told them this, her new husband, Arshdeep Singh, threw away carpet that was later believed to have human remains on it at one point. The next day, this same guy stole $10,000 from his job, and then Arshdeep, Cindy, and their kids flew to India. Noel was not on that flight. For years, Cindy managed to evade capture, living under assumed identities and moving between different cities abroad. After years, the FBI tracked Cindy to Punjab, India, where local police worked with the U.S. officials to arrest her. She was taken into custody earlier this month and extradited back to the U.S. to face charges of murder, obstruction, and flight to avoid prosecution. Neighbors from her old community in New Jersey say that the arrest brings long-awaited relief. One former neighbor told reporters, quote, "We always hoped she'd be caught. That little boy deserves justice." Prosecutors have said that they will seek the maximum penalty. Her bond has been set at $10 million. She is charged with capital murder in Texas, even though Noel has never been found. Our last story takes us to Michigan, when a Sunday worship service turned into tragedy in Grand Blanc Township when a gunman launched a coordinated attack on a Mormon church. On the morning of Sunday, September 28th, Thomas Jacob Sanford, 40 years old, drove his pickup truck through the front doors of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. After crashing through the wall, Sanford opened fire with an assault-style rifle and then set parts of the church on fire using gasoline. By the time police had arrived, four people had been killed and at least eight more were injured, some from gunfire, others from smoke inhalation as flames spread through the building. Authorities later said that the entire attack unfolded in just a few minutes. Sanford was ultimately shot and killed in a gunfight with responding officers. Among the victims identified so far is John Bond, who was 77 years old, a Navy veteran, grandfather, and longtime member of the congregation. He enjoyed golf and trains. He loved his wife, Joanne, and their six children and 10 grandchildren. The victims' ages ranged widely from children to older adults, leaving families across the community devastated. Benjamin Phelps and his young son were both injured in the attack. Benjamin, an Idaho native, lives in Linden with his wife and children, and they've been involved in overseas missions. Their son has been released from the hospital to recover at home, but Benjamin still faces a long and difficult recovery. Jared and Brandy Hicken and their young daughter were all injured in the attack as well. Jared Hicken is a fourth-year chief emergency medicine resident and also participated in overseas missions. Brandy and their daughter were released from the hospital, but Jared is still there and his condition has not been made public. Craig Hayden lost his life during the attack as well. He was married to his wife for 50 years and he was a leader within the church. His daughter Julie posted a letter that her sister wrote about the attack. She was there when it happened and said that while she was comforting her dad and placing her hands on him after he had been shot, the shooter came up to her and stared at her right into her eyes. She says in that moment, quote, "I saw pain. He felt lost. I deeply felt it with every fiber of my being. I forgave him. I forgave him right there, not in words, but with my heart," end quote. Investigators revealed Sanford had a military background. He served in the Marine Corps and was deployed to Iraq. Friends told reporters that he harbored a deep resentment toward the Mormon church, stemming from a failed relationship over a decade ago where he was in this intense relationship, but she would not be with him unless he converted to the Mormon faith. And ever since then, he has just had, I don't know, I guess a deep-seated hatred towards the Mormon faith. In the days before the shooting, he reportedly made hostile comments online calling Mormons the Antichrist. Police also found IEDs in his truck, suggesting the attack had been carefully planned. The FBI has joined local authorities in the investigation, calling the attack both targeted and religiously motivated. Officials say Sanford acted alone, but are working to determine if he left behind digital evidence or a manifesto of some kind. Now I'll leave you with this as you go into the weekend. Multiple online campaigns were set up to help the victims' families, as is typical in situations like this. But what is not typical, and the first time I've ever seen anything like this, is that a Give, Send, Go campaign was set up for none other than the shooter's family. So far, that campaign has raised over $180,000. And it says, quote, "My name is Dave. Like all of you, I was shocked by the murders at the LDS Chapel in Grand Blanc, Michigan on September 28th. Multiple families were left grievously wounded and in need of help. One of the families that suffered a terrible loss on that day was the family of Thomas Jacob Sanford, the shooter. Sanford leaves behind a wife and children who must be grieving. They will face financial hardship and psychological trauma as a result of this week's horrifying event. On top of that, one of Sanford's sons deals with serious medical challenges that require ongoing care, treatment, and specialized support. In the past, the family attempted to raise funds for him, but with limited success. I have no connection to the Sanfords or to Grand Blanc. I am an ordinary member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm a fantasy and science fiction writer, and if you know me at all, it's probably because you've seen me on an LDS YouTube channel, such as The Stick of Joseph or Ward Radio. But James teaches us that, quote, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, end quote. The purpose of this Give, Send, Go is to do that. Every donation will go to help provide for the Sanford family's daily needs, provide for ongoing medical treatment, and create some stability in a time of heartbreak and upheaval. Thank you for your kindness, your compassion, and your willingness to lift up those who are suffering, end quote. If you're interested in donating to any of these campaigns, I will put links to all of them in the show notes for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Weekly Docket. We'll be back next week with a deep dive on Tuesday and another Weekly Docket on Friday. Have a great weekend. Stay curious, stay vigilant. Mama Mystery out.